Hey, welcome into Wedding Film Wednesdays. We finally got a name. I got Angie Gopher with Film and Flourish and a logo, almost.
Yeah, sick logo.
Yeah, maybe I'm gonna tell that guy the changes that that we want and throw it up on the screen if I have it done by this episode. That'd be hilarious, bro.
Yeah, man, logo number three is where it's at for me.
Yeah, with the old film reel coming out of the camera.
Film reel?
With a diamond ring in the middle.
And a play button. We got it all covered.
All right, man, so today I kind of want to talk about just the process of editing. Like, after you have all your footage dumped, it's backed up, what is, I guess, like the main process of not going into like major detail in this episode, but kind of the overall process of, you know, finding music, laying out your film? Like, do you structure your film before, like, you throw in all the final B-roll shots? Do you work as you go? What is your process when it comes to editing?
Yeah, so what I've been doing for about the last year, and I've found that it's helped me speed up my process in just with the overall edit, especially with like doing like a highlight film,
yeah,
is I'll go ahead and I'll edit, not the entirety of, but like I'll find bits and pieces from a speech or the ceremony. So when I shoot with 4 and 5 cameras for the ceremony, 3 cameras for toast, what I'll do is I'll pull the wide angle. I'll sync up every angle from ceremony and speeches,
yep,
to the audio. And there might be 2 or 3 sources of audio. I might have the officiant on one track. I might have groom on one track, bride on one track. If there's a mic on a stand, that's its own track. But once it's all said and done, and I get all of my video angles synced up to all those sources of audio, I'll then kind of hide. I'll make each of those video tracks invisible except for the wide angle. So the wide angle for the ceremony, wide angle for the toast. That way I'm not trying to like skim through all this different footage. I'm not trying to make my computer play all these,
right,
stacked layers of video. And anytime I find moments that I like from the speech or that I like from the ceremony, I just kind of like make my in and out cuts. And then I just immediately cut straight up on the left, go to the right, cut straight down on the right, and then I have like all 3 or 4 or 5 of my videos marked up so that when I go back in later, I know this is the section that I'm gonna use or at least want to consider using for the highlight. I'll go ahead and select them. I'll change them to a different color. If it's a male speaking, blue, female speaking, pink, just color code things. Move all of my audio and video moments from speeches, toast, ceremony, first looks, letter readings, anything like that, all the way to the left, further over to the left of my timeline. And once I'm done cutting all that together, if I have my song, I actually start cutting my song together. So I'll edit a 3.5 minute song into a 5.5, 6.5 minute video. I'll create certain loops for parts of the song. And then at that point, I'm like, I can either make this a 6 minute video or a 6 minute 20 second, 6 minute 40 second. I can just extend and add to the parts of the loops that I've created for the song. So
to recap, you're taking like the full moments of the speech and in the ceremony, lining up everything, and then cutting out just the highlight moments that you really love, and then taking all of those clips, like of all the angles, and then moving it to like one part of a timeline, so you have them all, like all the camera angles lined up, if I'm hearing you right.
Yep.
And then that way you can like go in there, find those moments, and then you go to your song, and then you even extend the song out at some points to make it longer or shorter depending. And then I'm assuming you go, I'll let you expand on it, but going into the song and finding those moments of like where the beat changes or whatever to find where those dialogues fit.
Yeah, so the reason I'll edit all things audio first before even touching the song is because like,
right,
I get to hear that stuff over and over.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you pick out a moment you want from a speech or from the ceremony, you've probably listened to it at least 2 or 3 times. Like you're not just hearing it. You know, you have to hear it at least once to determine, oh, I like that, and then you have to go back. But
yeah,
sometimes you have to listen through a moment that might be 40 seconds long because like you're like, okay, in this like 40 seconds of speaking, this moment's good, this moment's good, but like the middle section of that 40 seconds, like this doesn't really work or I don't like it. So I'm gonna need to splice the beginning and end of that 40 seconds together. And so you have,
right,
to listen through it, play it again, make your cuts and all that good stuff. By the time I've done that for everything I want to use for the highlight, that stuff's pretty ingrained in my brain. So now as I'm cutting together the song, I'm already envisioning, I know what part I know whose audio I want at the very beginning to open the film, to end the film, in the middle. If someone says something funny and I know that like leads into a chorus or leads into, yep. you know, more exciting music or whatever, I just kind of, I'll know that based on having watched and picked out those points of the edit. So if someone's saying something emotional, I'm not going to use an emotional dialogue right as the music swells or, I don't know, picks up into a more upbeat, intense part of the chorus. But if it's
I think one thing that a lot of people that are maybe new to wedding films don't understand immediately going into it that can improve your films drastically off of just editing is, like you said, taking those dialogue moments right before the beat changes or going into a chorus, because there's a change into the music and it feels like a moment when you do that.
Yeah, it accentuates that moment and whatever is said.
Right.
So like if someone says something funny and everyone laughs and you hear the music going up, not just like going from non-lyrics to lyrics, but you can hear the progression of the music going right. up after someone told a joke and you hear people laughing and you hear the music going up and then we cut to a totally different part of the day. Mm-hmm. It's just like, it makes you feel the cut and it makes you feel the transition versus just like, oh, this person just cut from a toast to getting ready for no apparent reason.
Right.
However, when you can hear it and you feel it, you're like, they definitely did that on purpose. They did that intentionally.
Now, usually when you're editing, do you typically, I know every wedding is different, but typically when you're editing a film, do you usually keep one song and edit that to make it as long as possible? Or do you ever switch songs throughout the edit?
Traditionally, I've done more of, let's just extend one song. I'll use lyrics, I'll use instrumental, and between those two things.
For the continuity of it?
Yeah, just the continuity of it. If a wedding has enough different tones throughout the day, like I've had some weddings where it's like happy, go lucky, chill, excitement for like getting ready. Ceremony or first looks are incredibly emotional and there's crying and it's like, okay, this is totally different from people laughing and smiling. Right. And then you get to the reception and it's a full out party. It's like, it's three totally different vibes. One song's not gonna match that. Now, sometimes a wedding will kind of match that. But for the most part, I feel like when I have a really, I was going to say complicated, it's not the right word. When I have like a very unique couple and they just have so many different emotions on a wedding day, yeah, I feel like trying to find at least two songs helps that story best.
Yeah, I definitely feel like, at least for me, when the reception is insane and I know that I'm gonna have that as like a chunk of their video and say like everything prior to that's like very elegant, I feel like definitely there's a need for me, like when I go into the edit, to have two different songs, because there's a lot of times you have an elegant wedding, beautiful church ceremony, and then they have a band that absolutely kills at the reception and it's just like high energy all the time and you're like, I don't feel like one song is gonna work for that. So And you'll just instinctively like pick up on that, I think, just throughout it.
Yeah, for sure. And I think people should know their footage and the tonality of their wedding day inside and out, and they should know their couple really well. Because I think the biggest stereotype to me, like when I can tell it's a new film or I can tell someone just edits all of their films the same, is when there's one song and it's, whether it's linear or non-linear of an edit, there's like no reception footage. And then the film kind of ends and it switches to the reception. And it's just like the same type of songs that I always hear for the reception. But it's like almost an abrupt, there's no transition from like this type of mood to this type of mood. It's just like, oh, let's just have it end. And then boom, let's have a totally different song and totally different footage. And it feels like two different stories and two different videos. Mm-hmm. And it's like, not saying that's bad, but I feel like everyone I see new literally has like the sad sounding song or like the pretty sounding song and it ends and then they just have like an entirely different sounding song. And I'm like,
And like you said, there's nothing wrong with that. It's all style, but it's typically, like you said, when you're getting new into it, it's hard to find that transition to go from that one kind of song to the other. And it's just, I think, reps and repetition of you know, going through weddings and doing it. So if you're new and doing it, don't be discouraged that that's what your films are like. If you, I mean, but it's all style. Like, if you want that to be your style, that's totally fine.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I wouldn't say like that's a right or a wrong type of thing.
All right.
I just feel like we're naturally. I feel like people who haven't done it for a long time are naturally drawn to, or they see a couple weddings, like that's what they see, and so like that's what they do for the same thing. You know, the build up, the prep, the ceremony, the exit. Oh, and now we're at the reception, and the song just entirely changes. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. But after a couple, I think for me, after editing a couple things that way, because that's like what I saw early on, I'm like, I can't keep editing this way. Like, I'm gonna get bored with this so quick.
All right. So after you have your basic edit done, where you have like the kind of the bones of the edit, where you have your song mapped out, you have your dialogue where you want it, how do you then build on top of that to kind of finish the film? I know there's a lot more detail that we're kind of skipping over, but
yeah, I mean, we're just skipping over like all the subjectivity of I'm gonna use this moment. Actually, you know what? Let me move this person's speech further down in the film, and let me replace that moment I just had filled with someone else's speech. It's literally, I'm just constantly changing. I'll send video clips, like I'll pick up my phone, take a video of like a 30 second clip and send it to my couples, and they're like, oh my gosh, we love it. And then I'm like, I wonder if my couples ever go back and look at like that first video I sent them from my phone when they're watching their final video, because like their final video like was entirely different from that 30 second clip I sent them.
Yep.
The song was the same. Literally the song edit was the same. The 30 seconds of music is still exactly the same, but all the footage was flipped around, or I put the brother's speech in there instead of her sister. And it's like, I just, stuff constantly switches from like moment to moment. Just because like, okay, this works, but like I'm not feeling it and I don't like it. So let me try something else, and constantly changing and switching things out.
Yeah. So once you get to that point and everything's set where you're at, do you then go back into like your B-roll kind of footage and build on top of that? Or do you know?
Yep. Yeah. And so that's another thing. Kind of like with the music, I know what parts of audio and dialogue I want to kind of match the music. If I know my audio from the speech and the ceremony inside and out, I now know as I'm going through my B-roll, this will be great for what she said. This will be great for what he said. Yeah. Versus me just cutting B-roll. This is what I used to do. I used to just cut all of my B-roll and I'd be like, oh, this is great. I have 7.5 minutes of B-roll and none of this is including the ceremony footage, the speech footage. And I like to really draw out speeches and ceremony. I mean, I have so many cameras, I can let those moments play out for 10, 15 seconds if I feel like during the highlight and it doesn't feel like, oh, we're just, you know, they ran out of B-roll. I actually can let those moments play out.
Yeah.
But I used to do that where I would just lay out that footage and be like, cool, I have 7 minutes of B-roll. Now let me go match it to the music or match it to the dialogue. Whereas now I know the dialogue. And now because I know that, I can go in and as I'm cutting B-roll, be like, I'm definitely going to just start dropping this stuff. I'll section and group floral shots or full bridesmaid shots or things like that, all with the bridesmaids, like the maid of honor or the matron of honor speech. Anything with footage of the guys getting ready, I'll put over that. And if it's something with like a dad speaking or a mom speaking, a lot of times if I don't already have footage and clips of them, like with a first look or something like that, I just know that I'm going to insert B-roll of venue stuff, just like non-people B-roll of the venue, close-ups on details of flowers or the details of like the dress, things like that, since I don't have tons and tons of footage of dad getting ready or mom getting ready, things like that.
Is there ever times that you're at weddings and that you shoot things that you're like, I'm probably not even going to use this, but I'm going to shoot it anyway? For example, like signs or, you know, tape, like things on tables or like.
And I would say I probably overshoot. I don't shoot as much as I used to. And yet everything, I think just about everything I shoot, unless it's out of focus, I can use if I want to.
Yeah.
I would say like 98% of what I shoot on a wedding day, even if I don't like it, and even if I end up not using it, if I handed the footage off to someone else, they would be able to be like, oh, the shot's usable. Like, it's a good composition. It shows like, oh, you know, ceremony this way or reception that way. Just little things that like can help build the story. Just for me, I'm like, oh, this isn't that important or doesn't really add to the story. And I'll only use the shot if I absolutely need to.
And I bring that up because I had a wedding previously and I normally have shied away from like shooting things on tables or like things like that, like at the reception, like the side tables, like right before you walk in or whatever. But at this one wedding, their initials were M&M, and it was just like laid out. And then I usually don't shoot something like that, but you know, for whatever reason, I shot it. But then in one of the toasts, the guy was like, it's so crazy that their name is Maddie and Maddie, because his favorite candy is M&M's. And yeah. Because I shot that, I could throw that into my footage and it felt like a natural thing rather than just showing a sign of whatever.
Yeah, yep. Yep, so I think too, like you said, we're skipping over a lot.
But, we are. We can get more in detail.
But when I send out a questionnaire to my couples, I'm like, I want to know what type of music they like. I want to know what type of scents they like. I want to know what colors they like. Because obviously those things will, if the bride really loves a certain color green, like loves it, she's probably going to incorporate it. I had a bride last July who like everything on her Instagram is yellow and she's got like lemons and like lemon emojis and like all of her posts. Sure enough, she wore a yellow dress for her wedding.
Wow.
And
awesome.
So, I mean, the cake was yellow. Just, I mean, yellow was such a present theme. Now that's probably an over the top example. Like not every bride who loves pink or red or whatever is going to just heavily influence their style and their stuff for the day with that color and infuse it that way. But asking questions like that helped me look for things on the wedding day. So if they love their dogs when they have pets or they've traveled a lot and they've been to like tons of countries or like just tons of national parks and states, I look for anything that can be related to that type of thing. So if they love water, obviously if they're getting married at Chesapeake Bay Beach Club, they kind of probably like water, we would assume, since it's like nothing but the ocean and the beach.
Right.
So it's like, if you're gonna do that, get stuff of boats, get stuff of the bridge, get anything close up to the water, add and incorporate sound. Because then, even if that stuff is unrelated to what's being said, it's still an element, an important thing to them and why they had their wedding there. Even if dad's saying something unrelated to that, like putting that stuff and overlaying it, it's still tying one theme of their wedding and one thing that they love with another theme of their wedding and a person that they love, and you overlay the two. And so even though someone who doesn't know the couple might not understand why did he put these shots to this person speaking, you know that your couple will know that. And I think too much of the time as videographers, we're trying to tell stories that like blow the minds of our peers. And it's like, I don't freaking care what you think. I want my couple to be like, holy crap, like he did this. And like, I love this element of it. And I love water. I love nature and the woods. I love all this different stuff. And like, that's all infused into my wedding film, and it makes it feel like mine. So.
Right. Yeah, I love that. And I guess kind of the last thing is, again, we're skipping over so much, but after the edit is finished, what is your process of exporting that? You have the full, say, 7-minute film. How do you deliver that to the couple? And then how do you go about the process of like chopping up moments for reels or and all that?
Yeah. So as far as the upload and delivery goes, I've been using MediaZilla, I think, for about 3 years now. I know a lot of other people use.
Yeah, you put me onto that. That's why
I use it. I think Webflow, or it might have changed. They might have changed the name. VidFlow, I think it is now.
Gotcha.
So that they can cater to more people outside of weddings. But I've been using MediaZilla, and I love that for delivering all of my videos. I know just probably 4 years back, when a couple would get their ceremony, I'd send them a link. And if they got their speeches, I'd send them another link.
And, yeah, I did the same.
And I'm just like, there's got to be an... I feel bad, but my couple's going to have like 5 links they got to keep track of. And sure enough, they come back 2 years later and they're like, do you still have our... I can't find the link to my speeches. And so like, now I got to go digging and find it. And so what I love about MediaZilla is just the ability to host everything in one place. I like the ability that people can just download it digitally. They can download like a 1080 copy, or they can download the original file. So even though MediaZilla doesn't stream in 4K, they can download their full resolution video.
Right.
And so that's all part of my like, hey, when I deliver to them, I send them a text like, hey, I'm sending you an email. Here's the link here in a text, but I'm going to send you like, a more polished email with the same link, giving you steps on like how to preserve it, how to save it. You have a 30-day window before it turns into like an iCloud basis for storage. So if you don't download it in the first 30 days and try to download it after that, you know, you'll have to wait 12 to 24 hours, whatever. Now, when it's a film, that like I really like, whether it fits my brand or not, I just think it's a good edit, a good story. I will also upload that to Vimeo, just because I want people to be able to stream that in like its highest resolution. And if it's like really good and one that I really like and want people to see, I'll also put it on YouTube. It can't hurt to have more of your work out there.
Right.
And then as far as the edits and stuff go, having multiple backups and copies of your project, so whether you're in Premiere, Final Cut, DaVinci, having like version 1, version 2, version 3, but having multiple copies of that. And then within Premiere, I have a main timeline. After that, I'll have like a specific like ceremony edit, speeches edit, TikTok Reels edit, and then in parentheses, 9x16, just things like that, so that I can actually go to each different thing instead of continuing to like grab footage from my main timeline and cutting it to bits and being like, oh, if I want that footage back, I have to like drag my clips left and right again to replace what I took. Or it used to get really messy. I would make like, here's my 5 clips of a video, here's my audio, and then I would just copy all of it and paste it further down the timeline. And so I would have like 2 and 3 copies of my ceremony. So next thing you know, I have this like hour and 45 minute timeline, and I'm never even touching the footage at the end. I just have it sitting there because when I start chopping up one part of the footage, I want the whole thing somewhere else untouched. So I've just started making my own timeline for a ceremony edit so that when it's done, it's fully cut, it's polished, it's finished. And then I can just like drag and drop that finished edit onto my main timeline instead of just like taking up my timeline.
Yeah, I love it. All right, cool. I think that kind of wraps up the basic synopsis. Again, this is a very skim through version of editing, but just to get, I guess, kind of an idea of the process of editing, how to go about it. That's about it. Do you have any other nuggets or anything you want to throw?
I noticed we skipped over the before you import the footage into Premiere. And
man. Hey, I am who I am. I am who I am.
Loud and proud.
Loud and proud. Did you have any other nuggets, I guess, besides if you want to talk about, I guess, backing up footage beforehand? Not backing up, labeling.
Yeah. No, I don't think I have anything else to add to that. We kind of discussed that in detail a few weeks ago.
All right.
Structure and organization. You don't need it. You do need it. It all depends on who you are.
I also think something to note is that your style is going to change over the years, and don't be like so tied to one style or feel like you suck when you look at someone else's style. I think that, you know, your style is just naturally going to evolve over time. You're going to want to try different things because you might not bore with your own work, but you're so used to your own work that you want to just naturally want to do other things. So don't feel bad about like having your style and it changing or whatever.
Yep. Yeah, your style will definitely evolve over time. And there are elements of my old films that I still see in my current films, but there's also like a lot of new and different things that are ways to shoot.
One thing, when I saw Michael the other day, is he said that he's now shooting, and I'm sure a lot of people are doing this, with reels in mind. So you're shooting a little bit wider for some shots, or recapturing a shot a little bit wider, just so you have that footage for reels. Even at his shoot, his gimbal can flip it to where it's vertical, and then he can get that shot so you don't have to crop and reframe. You can just literally have that vertical shot. Yep. So there's gonna be things like that too over the course of time that's gonna naturally just change how you shoot as well.
Yep, absolutely.
All right, well, that's it. Appreciate you guys. Thanks for tuning in.
Until next time.
See you next time.